You're listening to Halford and Brough.
Would you guys say the morning show is the core or the difficult engineering? Yeah, we're the core. We're the young core.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
We're elite talent.
Now you're stretching it.
Who are we then? Jake and Gaudette?
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, that sounds awful.
Did you ever figure out what escrow is?
Yeah, it's a big pile of money that they keep away from the two parties. And there's a third party that sits on top of the money and just waits and waits and waits. And that guy's name is Mr. Escrow.
This is what I work with.
Good morning, Vancouver. Jason Brough, alone again. Well, Dom's here. Morning, Dom.
Morning. You're riding solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who sings this, though?
Neo.
I don't even know who that is. I'm that old because it's my birthday today. I'm 45 years old.
Happy birthday.
So I won't know any of the music that Dom listens to, probably.
Oh, come on. I'm a millennial. I'm not one of these Gen Z kids.
Okay, that's true.
Come on. Like,
all right.
We're closer than you think.
I don't even know what generation I am. I'm entitled, though.
Yeah. You're not a boomer. We know that.
No, okay. All right. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Three guests today. Jeff Merrick is going to join us at 6:15. Co-host of 31 Thoughts with Elliot Friedman. Host of Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet. We'll go around the NHL, starting with the Vancouver Canucks, because there was some news yesterday. Thomas Drantz will join us at 7:20. And then we got Murph at 8 o'clock. So a great lineup of guests on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. A little update on Mike Halford, in case you were wondering. He's feeling better. Tested negative. Playing it safe, though, not coming in today either. He's just not feeling well. I won't go through all his symptoms, but he's just not feeling well. So maybe he'll be back Monday. Hopefully he'll be back Monday. We got a bunch of texts already into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Well, Max in Vancouver, thank you very much. Happy birthday, Jason. Hope you don't feel too old this morning. Yes, I do. Doug from Salmon Arm. So the Brough Show was such a hit, they brought it back. This is just my sneaky way of kind of edging out old Halford. Like, I feel like I've carried Halford for long enough. So we'll see how this goes. Unsigned text. Oh, baby, I'm feeling a little house of negativity today. This team we cheer for is doomed.
Did something happen?
Yeah, something did happen. The Canucks signed Tanner Pearson to a 3-year deal. Cap hit slightly over $3 million. And I think this is probably why Junior the bus driver texted in with an early what we learned. I am a 35-year-old guy who has been following this team since I was a kid. I've been an absolute diehard since 2002. I supported Jim Benning for the first 2 years of his tenure. Since then, I have been against him and the job he has done. I'm struggling with how to word this, but I am officially done with this team, with him at the GM position. I have simply stopped caring and will continue to not care, not watch, not listen, or spend a cent of money on this team until he is gone. I will continue to listen to you and Halford in the mornings, though, so no worries there. Thank you for letting me vent. Our poll question this morning. You know how the old station that I worked at started with a 10, ended with a 40? Was branded. Actually, we branded it, the House of Negativity. I'm wondering if this poll question at... Is Sportsnet 650 now the new House of Negativity? Because our poll question this morning is, what is your level of faith in Canucks management, high, medium, or low? 162 votes on this so far. 84% of you are low. 84% of you are low. This is a Sportsnet 650 poll question, Dom. I thought this place was supposed to be house radio, and I turned on the People Show yesterday.
The Peep Show.
The Peep Show. And they were going off on this contract. They were not fans of it. They could not wrap their heads around it.
What does it say? And I'm not saying that
you've lost house radio.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying we are house radio because we do have our opinions. But what does it say when Sportsnet 650, the first reaction is a negative one, not just from the host, but from the fans? Like, that should tell you everything you need to know about this signing. It's got everybody
triggered
100%. And when we talked the other day about the Pearson signing, I had mentioned, like, okay, a number I'd be comfortable with is $2 million per season. This, though, like, that's too
Dom,
much.
Dom, I'd like to introduce you to the Spit on Me sound drop from Family Guy, because once in a while, like, eventually, if you're negative enough, you kind of grow to like it.
Oh, God.
Right? And it becomes a little bit perverse. So hit me with a little...
Brian, spit on me.
You got to keep going. You got to keep going on it. Because it gets a little perverse. And, like, we're gonna gradually bring you into our world of Canucks pessimism, Canucks negativity. And you might start to crave it a little bit. Can you play it a little bit longer?
Brian, spit on me. Oh, that's nice. Now tell me I'm scum.
Yeah. See, that's what we do here.
Do you realize I'm a Jets fan? Like, I'm used to this kind of self-loathing, you know, pity party.
Not at the Halford and Brough level.
No, probably not. Mm. But I understand where you're coming from.
You ever
from.
Had a dog spit on you?
Oh, God, no.
Well, there you go. The Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650 is already full. The smart alternative, not these texts, Dunbar Lumber I'm talking about. The smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. It is Ask Us Anything Friday, too. So Ask Us Anything Friday, in case you've never heard it, in case you're new to the Halford and Brough Show, every Friday, you can text in with any question you want. It can be on sports. It can be on the Canucks. It can be on any sport. It can be on anything. Movies, TV. Try and stay away from politics because, you know, it's Friday and we're trying to go into the weekend. But if you must, maybe. Relationship advice. If you want to talk to some guys that aren't good at relationships.
Well, speak for yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe you're, yeah. Maybe you're the relationship expert.
Perhaps.
Ask Dom about relationships.
I'll do my best.
Okay. I'm getting better at relationships. I'm learning at 45 years old. I'm learning. You know, I've had a relationship with Halford for a while.
That's very true.
Right?
That's a long-standing one.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of texts in here. Ask us anything for Josh in his video van. What is your golf handicap in your dream group for a round of golf? Anyone ever? I got a question about this yesterday when it was about Augusta and who you'd bring to Augusta if you had the chance. Like, who would be your dream group? Honestly, like, I think I'd bring my buddies if I had a chance to play Augusta. The guys I've been playing with for, you know, years.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah. But if I couldn't bring my buddies, I'd want to bring, oh, man.
I mean, Tiger's number one, I think, with a bullet.
Yeah, I think Tiger, just to play with Tiger, but also to...
I'd pick his brain.
Yeah, about the course.
Yeah.
Like, where do I go here? He's like, well, we go in different places because I can hit it 320 off the tee.
With a slight fade.
You're probably going to, like... be so nervous up here, you're going to top it. So yeah. If you're going to top it straight, and you should be fine.
John Daly?
No.
Really?
No.
I think that'd be so much fun.
No. I don't think so. I'm not a big John Daly fan.
Really?
I find him a tragedy.
Yeah, but that's what makes him fascinating.
Yeah.
I put him
I
in my
I bet you John Daly, you know what? I bet you John Daly is in a bucket of laughs all day.
I think he is.
No.
The stories I've heard that, you know, okay. people like Tiger and Phil tell.
Do you think he's a happy guy?
Outside of the course? No. At right. the course, well, I think that's where he thrives.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Let me think about this. My golf handicap, I don't keep an official one. I don't know. It's probably about a 10. Something
that's pretty
there.
Good.
Yeah.
That's decent.
Having a morning show where you're off at, well, it used to be 10 and now it's 9, allows you to golf a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So Jeff Merrick is going to join us next. And we'll ask Jeff about the Canucks just to give his impressions as kind of an outsider on the Canucks and which direction he thinks they're going to go. I also want to ask him, I was thinking of the things that I wanted to ask Jeff last night. Because I didn't want to be like, what do you think the Leafs are going to do? Or, you know, keep it to the Canadian teams. The one team that I think Canucks fans would kill to have their trajectory is Colorado. It's taken a while in Colorado. And it looked for a while that, you know, they were going to accumulate all sorts of good young talent. Nathan MacKinnon, Landeskog, et cetera, et cetera. And then they were just going to still be bad. It looked like Colorado was going to be Buffalo. Colorado a few years ago was horrible. And now they're one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And you look at that lineup and you're like, wow, that thing is loaded. So what has Colorado done? How have they turned the corner in order to become the team that they are? I think they're really a fascinating team to look at in terms of how they've done it. Because remember, they had the moment where some of their young guys came together and people were like, wow, this team is going to be really good. And they're going to be really good for a while. And then they fell apart again. And they were really bad for a while. And then they turned it around and they're looking like a really good team now. Jeff's on the line right now. Good morning, Jeff. Long time, no talk.
Holy jeez. How you doing, Jason? Good to hear your voice again, pal.
You too, man. I remember when you used to come on our show, you were one of the few people that were like, yeah, I'll come on your show with a bunch of bloggers when we were the Curtain Blog show. So you were one of the nice people in the media that helped support us. And Mike and I always appreciated that.
First of all, hope Mike's feeling better. Second of all, I used to love it. I loved it because one, it was a tribute to one of my favorite hockey players of all time, Orlin Kurtenbach. And whenever I heard the name of the show, I always thought of the player who personally I thought was the toughest player ever to play in the NHL. And two, you guys are just flat out fun. Like I always like properties and programs that don't sound like everything else. And trust me, at that time and now, you guys don't sound like everybody else. So I loved it and still do. I'm a fan. I listen. You guys are great dudes. We've hung out together. You guys got a great vibe.
Thanks, Jeff. I really appreciate that. And I can't wait to hang out again. I really can't. I miss being out on the road. I miss hanging out with my friends. And I think we all do right now. Same. But we can still complain about the Canucks. That hasn't changed here in Vancouver. So I don't know how much – I always wonder how much people from, you know, the other side of the country pay attention to the Canucks have signed Tanner Pearson. He's not a superstar. He's a solid player. But you must notice the reaction on Twitter if you dare open Twitter anymore. What did you think about the signing and what did you think about the reaction?
I still think the best show going is Canucks Twitter. I really do. I think that it to me, it's one of the most entertaining things about the National Hockey League. I love it. Sometimes I shake my head. A lot of times I laugh. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I find myself saying, do you get this mad when you vote, people?
Do you think it keeps Elliot up at night?
I think there have been times where Elliot's been really annoyed by it. I think a lot of times, though, now I think he enjoys poking the bear. Like I'll tell you, you know, we've been sitting around sometimes during the Wednesday night hockey show, and he'll say, "Should I put this out to get everyone fired up in Vancouver right now? Like, what should I do to get Canucks Twitter burning here? And
it doesn't take much.
Unfortunately, Elliot's too mature to really do it. But I just wonder if this were, you know, Elliot Friedman in his 20s, what it would be like right now. Like if Elliot were in the place of prominence that he's at right now, if he were in that spot when he was in his 20s, mm-hmm. when he had more of a sort of mischievous and Voltairean nature about him, I wonder how much he would light Vancouver on fire on a consistent basis, Jason. Like not just every now and then, mm-hmm. but like on a daily basis. He would be the he'd be the proverbial Canucks Twitter fire starter.
Well, it could have done well. I mean, Canucks Twitter didn't even need Elliot to light itself on fire yesterday. When you look at that Pearson signing, do you understand the fan reaction to it?
I do. Absolutely. I get it. And I know that that Jim Benning, for a majority of that Canucks Twitter fan base, has not bought himself the benefit of the doubt. Like, I understand all of that completely. You know, if it's another general manager, maybe you say, okay, well, let's look at the totality of all the deals here. The Demko deal is done. We'll see what happens with Hughes and Pettersson and whatever they're going to do to redo part of the blue line and to redo the bottom six. Let's look at the entire body of work. Instead of let's just, you know, take these, you know, one off after one off after one off. Mm-hmm. But I understand the outrage with Vancouver Canucks fans because, listen, that large part of Canucks Twitter doesn't have a lot of time for a lot of the decisions that this general manager is making. I don't think this general manager seems too concerned about the reaction. And I should say, I do admire that about Jim Benning. Like, he doesn't seem to be swayed by what Canucks
he doesn't.
Is going
because he hasn't changed at all. He hasn't changed at all. You know,
but don't you admire that though, Jason? Like, in
not
the,
as
in
a guy that's
got to
watch the Canucks, but you know, I do. No, he does have his principles and he sticks by them.
100%. Like, all you can ask for someone is just be authentically themselves and not just react based on what you know, not just act based on what they think the reaction is going to be, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the most successful people in any industry are people that do that. Mm-hmm. You know, that are people that say, like, listen, you know, it's always noisiest in the shallow end of the pool. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to worry about that noise. I have to do my job and I will be evaluated whenever I'll be evaluated. So I do admire people that don't just react to the social media reactions to their actions. Having said that, I do understand the knocks against this deal. Tanner Pearson is 29 years old. Tanner Pearson hasn't had the best of possible seasons. There are a lot of factors that go into that. I cut a lot of people a lot of slack this season specifically for performance, not just in hockey, but in all walks of life. But I do understand it because, you know, if you look at the bottom six of the Vancouver Canucks, and listen, you've talked about this countless times.
Yeah.
When you look at the bottom six, like, right. I mean, I don't need to bore your audience, mm-hmm. you know, by going over stuff that's already been gone over before. Like, you don't get in trouble when you pay the big guys. You get in trouble when you overcompensate the bottom guys. Mm-hmm. The feeling is, you know, you don't reward someone in your bottom six with a contract. You go find someone else who can do that for cheaper. And I think that, you know, by that logic, I can see the anger that some Canucks fans might have with this. But I am still very much in the camp of let's see the totality of this. Like, there's two whoppers out there. We all know the two whoppers that are on the horizon. You could actually make the argument that Green and Clark are also whoppers too. Mm-hmm. But as far as the salary cap goes, there are two big ones out there. Let's see what happens there.
Well, I think I know you're talking about Hughes and Pettersson. And yeah. getting them signed, and I think they'll end up signing bridge deals. Not only because of the Canucks situation that they put themselves in, but just because of the salary cap. And for them, it might just be better to wait through the flat salary cap era and then sign something when the league is out of it. My yeah. issue is, how are the Canucks going to improve themselves? Right, like, you can bring back Pearson, and I like Pearson as a player. I don't like him at that price and with that term, but I like him as a player. So you can bring back Pearson, sign Petey and Hughes, but then how much money do you have left to improve the team? Like, this team, even if you say, okay, this year was a bit of an anomaly, like, it was really tough to start. They didn't get in a lot of practice time. They had some new guys that had to learn the system, and they started to play a little bit better when they had some practice time, right?
Yep.
Even last year when they went to the bubble, like, they weren't really a Stanley Cup contender then, right? So how do they take it to the level where they are? Because, again, you know, Jim Benning's been on the job for a while now. I'm sure he would have hoped to have been a contender by now. I'm sure ownership would have hoped by now to be a contender. He did a press conference a little while ago where he said maybe the window's 2 years. So 2 years essentially to get into a Stanley Cup contender. And I look at the salary cap situation and I look at, okay, there's Pod Colson coming, maybe Rathbone on the back end, but is that going to be enough to make the Canucks into a contender? I don't know, and I don't think so, frankly.
So a couple of things there. One, I think that this team, I don't think is going to improve by free agent signing. And I'll give your audience an example that I'm sure they will love. Toronto Maple Leafs. There is a sense that around the Maple Leafs that the thing that sort of put them over the top now, the top team in the North Division, it's all because of the veterans that that the Maple Leafs brought in, and Dubas went out and got Thornton and Wayne Simmons and Bogosian, et cetera. When really the improvement comes from Austin Matthews is 1 year deeper into his career and 1 year better. Ditto for Mitch Marner, ditto for William Nylander, like all those players. And the one thing around the Maple Leafs that I really think has calmed everybody down and allowed these players to perform is there's no noise about contracts. I'm sure there's noise right now about, you know, the Zach Hyman deal and what that's going to look like. And every game that goes by, you know, his price tag goes up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But generally, the discussion about contracts is done around the Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Discussion around contracts with the Vancouver Canucks is anything but done. Like, this is something the Maple Leafs went through a couple of seasons ago, and it all started with the Nylander deal, and everybody lost their mind about it in Toronto. And we look at it now, even, you know, if you're a Nylander hater, you got to look at it and you say, okay, well, you know what? In hindsight, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
And ditto for Austin Matthews and ditto for Mitch Marner. All the noise around it and the distraction around it has all stopped. And Vancouver hasn't got to that point yet. Like, Vancouver's not going to get to the point of winning until all the conversation and the noise and the distraction until all the deals are done. That's why the biggest two pieces of business are, you know, Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. Like, you need to get past all that, and the team needs to get past all that. Like, I think it's folly to think that players don't talk about this, that they don't consider this, or this isn't part of, you know, the everyday conversation amongst teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Teams need to get past that. That's the example of the Maple Leafs. And Vancouver, you know, is probably a year or two away from that until they settle into these are the players, these are the contracts, this is our team.
I agree that there's internal improvement to be had from the players on the team. Like, I think Pettersson can get better. I think Hughes can get better. Nils Höglander, I think, can get better. We've seen improvement already this year from Brock Besser. But I do but I'll push back a little bit on the Leafs example, because while all that contract stuff was being done, they were still a really good team. Like, they were a 100-point team 3 years ago.
They were an immature team.
Yeah, but they were really immature team.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a good team, and I don't think the Canucks have had a season where they've been like, "Wow, that's a really good team." I also think that Kyle Dubas has made some pretty smart moves to fix the defense. Muzzin was a good addition. TJ Brody has fit in pretty well from what I've heard.
And from what
I've watched, they've developed some good young defensemen. And I don't get the sense that Jim Benning has made the same type of quality moves on the back end. Like, I like Nate Schmidt. That was a good deal. I don't think Tyler Myers' contract is going to age very well. And we've been waiting for these young guys on the back end to develop. And now this season was a little bit odd, but I don't have a ton of faith in Ole Ulevi to be a top four player. So, you know, there are some differences. Like, but I'm just pushing back just to play devil's advocate.
No,
one of the things I actually wanted to ask you is Colorado. And okay. I know they're, you know, you look at that team and you're like, well, yeah, obviously they're good, but they've gone through some serious ups and downs since drafting Landeskog and MacKinnon. You know, they did have that season where they made the playoffs and all the analytics guys were going like, this team is smoke and mirrors. They are due for regression. And boy, did they regress.
Yep.
But people were all over Joe Sakic, like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. How have they turned it around to become this powerhouse team that is definitely one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Few things. Good drafting, that's obvious. Second, and this doesn't get enough play, I think. I don't know that I've seen a general manager in this era that has exploited the waiver wire as successfully as Colorado has at various times. I think smart trades is certainly one. Good drafting is the obvious one, and there are more players coming. Like Alex Newhook is going to be a real good player in this league if he can find a spot. Being the caveat there, like they're in a really nice situation where they don't hand jobs to people. People have to earn them. You know, ditto for a player like Connor Timmins. As well, like these are spots that are going to have to be earned here. I think the Kadri trade helped a ton as well for that second line position. Mm-hmm. I think they did. You know, one of the things that I don't think Colorado gets enough credit for is, and this is like, listen, man, I got so much time for Jared Bednar. Like, I think this guy's one of the smartest coaches in the NHL. Period. And you look at how this Avalanche team, you know, used Tyson Barrie and put him in positions where he was going to be successful and never put him in a position where he would be exposed, and was able to leverage that into a deal to help cement their second line by picking off Nazem Kadri from the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, you know, this is a team that by and large, unlike a team like Nashville, for example, is draft and develop, and players growing up in the system. Like, you know, you go through, you know, pretty much their entire draft history. You know, there was that, you know, that one year with Colorado in 2014, where Patrick Roy raised a big stink at the draft about how we needed a defenseman in the first round, and the scouts wanted Connor Bleakley from the Red Deer Rebels, and they went that route, and Patrick Roy, you know, had a meltdown. He was pretty openly vocal about how miserable a choice that was. The poor kid, like, he's a decent player. He's like, he ain't getting a break because that coach doesn't want him, and he's let everybody know that even before the kid's gone to rookie camp. But I mean, ever since then, like, the drafting has been good. They have put a premium on drafting highly skilled and mobile defensemen. And honestly, no team does it without luck. Like, I know we all want to pretend here's the formula. Here's how you do it. But I mean, Cale Makar is, I know it's still a high pick at number four, but he kind of fell in their laps, didn't he?
Yeah. Like,
there's, I mean, Mikko Rantanen. You know, Mikko Rantanen might win the Rocket Richard Trophy. I mean, Mikko Rantanen is a 10th overall pick. Right, he's not a top five guy. He's one of the best players in that real deep 2015 draft. Right, like that's the McDavid draft. But you look at players that are taken before him, like whether it's Hanifin or Pavel Zacha or Timo Meier, like Mikko Rantanen kind of fell to them. So I think the one thing that we never like talking about in sports, Jason, because we want to pretend that we can explain everything, you need luck along the way. No matter what it is, we always look back and, oh man, they won that lottery and they moved up a few spots and that allowed them to get this. It's that intangible. Sometimes there's just no explanation for it. They've drafted well. They've used the waiver wire well. They've traded well. They have stability in the organization. You know Colorado. Like, that is a Ziploc franchise. Good luck getting anything out of that organization. Like, Sakic, you know, it's following the tradition of Pierre Lacroix. Thank you very much. Like, in the way he operates. And there's not a lot of noise around the organization. And that comes right from the top on down. they are, you know, really quietly, because it's not a market that gets a whole lot of attention, kind of a model franchise in the NHL right now.
I'll tell you a story about the Avs and how far they've come in the last few years. I can't remember. I'm terrible with, like, dates and everything, but this would have been maybe 4 or 5 years ago when the Avs were horrible. Like, by far the worst team in the league. So the Avs were at Rogers Arena, and I was in the press box, and we were all – the game was over, and we were all coming down in the elevator, one of those packed media elevators. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to one of my colleagues. I think it might have been Jeff Patterson, and I was like, that is a – like a terrible team, and just kind of like, just like, that was embarrassing. It's like, it was embarrassing to watch. And Jeff's got this really weird look on his face, and I'm like, what? And then all of a sudden his eyes point me behind me, and there's Joe Sakic right behind me in the elevator. And I was like, you know what? I don't even feel that badly about it, because, like, that was a horrible team, and even Joe Sakic must have known it too, but it was pretty funny.
He'll admit it. Like, the one thing about any, I find this in any business, the most successful people would have been in that situation and heard you in that elevator and probably said, yeah, you're right, we're terrible.
Yeah, and they were dreadful. And
of course they were, yeah. But as long as you're honest about yourself and address the areas of weakness, like, that's how you become successful. I'm pretty sure that inside it would have been like, Sakic may have been, you know, rolling his eyes like, geez, here's another log on the fire from this guy.
Yeah.
But also part of him would have said, that guy's right. Mm-hmm. That guy's right. We're a bad team right now.
He should have hired me. It's like, hire that man. Probably not.
Just come in and just roast everybody every day.
Yeah, Costanza style.
Slow. You, knock-kneed skater. You, work on your wrist strength.
I'm going to go take a nap. Jeff, great catching up with you, buddy. Really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, man. Let's do it again soon, I hope. Yeah, be well. Jason, good to hear your voice again, and all the best to Mike.
You too, pal. That was Jeff Merrick. Just a great guy. I love talking hockey with Jeff. He's such an interesting guy. Really smart dude, too. It's Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. No Halford today again. In case you're just joining us, Halford took yesterday off. He wasn't feeling well, got tested, came back negative. But he's still not feeling great. I know it's weird because people are like, wait a minute, you can still get sick, but it's not COVID? What? He's just not feeling well. So hopefully he will be back Monday. He tweeted out something yesterday. He said he's feeling better, and he thanks everyone for the concern. We'll be back, and I'll do some Ask Us Anythings on the other side. If you've got any good ones, text them in to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. It's the Halford and Brough Show. Just Brough today on Sportsnet 650. <music> 6:38 on a Friday. Halford and Brough Show, Sportsnet 650. Have you seen the weather for next week? It's going to be awesome golf weather. Get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. Yeah, it's going to get up to, I thought I saw the forecast is going to get up to 18 or 19 sunny next week. I think we're through the bad stuff now. It's time for the weather to improve. Golfing weather. Get out in your yards. Fix up your yards. I don't know if you have a yard. It's Ask Us Anything Friday on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We got a bunch. Ask Us Anything. Why didn't you guys take the 3.5 hour show? All the afternoon show does for the last half hour is replay their first interview again. Yeah, we could do that, I guess. I guess the morning show used to start at 5:30. I don't really want to do that. It seems too early. Who's awake at 5:30? And don't text in if you are awake at 5:30. Don't make Halford and I start our days at 5:30 in the morning. It's too early. Ask Us Anything, Brough. This is from Mike in Aldergrove. Brough, we need a Royals update after the passing of Prince Philip. I do enjoy following the Royals. My dad was born in England, and I do it somewhat because it's kind of funny, but I have my opinions on the Royals. which people seem to enjoy for some reason. I thought people would push back on that. Prince Philip, yeah, passed away at 99, lived a long, full life. Some people saw him as the stodgy representation of the royal family, the type of royal thing that, you know, the royals need to move past, or even the type of thing that people just say, I don't want the royals anymore, because of people like Prince Philip and how he held himself and how he had a lot of gaffes where he came across as just an old, out-of-touch guy.
Crotchety is a good word.
That wasn't, yeah, or stodgy, I would prefer.
Yeah.
Who just wasn't a man of the people whatsoever. But it is hard to be a man of the people when you are born into a royal family. And he was born into, I believe, the Greek and the Danish royal family. He was born in Greece. He has no Greek blood or anything like that, but he was born into, he was born on Corfu, I think, which is an island in Greece, I believe. And then the Greek royal family was banished when he was 18 months old. And then he went to boarding school in the UK. He started courting Queen Elizabeth, and they were married, and he joined the Navy, and he participated in World War II as, I think he was a first lieutenant on a destroyer.
What is happening right now? First of all, you don't even have the Wikipedia page up. I'm shocked that you know this off the top of your head. Like, yeah. You've got European geography. Mm-hmm. I understand you come from English descent, but like,
he's led a very interesting life.
Clearly,
like him or not,
imagine
he lived 99 years. He lived to 99. Think of all that he saw over his life. Love him or hate him or have no opinion of him at all. He's lived an interesting life, and he lived an interesting life. So rest in peace. There we go. Bunch of texts in that aren't Ask Us Anythings, but they are related to our poll question today. What is your level of faith in Canucks management, high, medium, or low? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, folks. I thought things might change over at Sportsnet 650. Maybe we've brought the House of Negativity with us. The Halford and Brough House of Negativity. High, medium, or low? 85% say low. 85% say low. Medium is 12.5%. High, just 2.3%. Almost 600 votes. Tim in Vancouver, there is no faith. Jim has outdone himself this time. 17 million left for Pedersen, Hughes, and 6 more roster spots. Pearson would have been lucky to get 2 million on the open market. Just brutal. So we're going to have Thomas Drantz on the show at 7:20, so just around a half an hour from now. I actually called Drancer last night at about 7 o'clock. I'm prepping for the show because I know I'm going to have to do it again by myself. And we chatted a little bit, and we were kind of like, oh, man, how are they going to get out of this? And we both agreed, we don't know how they're going to get out of this. But Drantz wrote about the Pearson contract from the and he did explain the Canucks' perspective on this one. And I think it's only fair to point out the Canucks' perspective on this one. In the key, according to Drantz in his article, is that signing Pearson allows the club to move forward with more stability than they enjoyed after the bubble, when every single unrestricted free agent walked. There is a sense internally, and this is according to Drantz, who speaks with people at the club, including Jim Benning, that the scale of those losses and the stature of the players that departed, you know, we're talking about Markstrom, Tanev, and Toffoli, impacted the club, particularly over the course of January and February. Benning had no, and this is, I'm just going to read this verbatim here from Drantz's article. Benning had no appetite to recreate that dynamic next season, which is why a Pearson extension was prioritized and trade options were never really explored at significant length or depth. So that's their perspective. But you can still overpay. There has to be a point where you say, that's too much. We got other priorities. Now, where does it leave the Canucks? According to Drantz, now this all depends on LTIR, who goes on and what buyouts they might pursue over the summer. So, but Drantz calculates it as the Pearson deal leaves the Canucks with about $23 million in salary cap space this offseason to sign two star-level players, that's Hughes and Pettersson, also upgrade their middle six, reconstruct their blue line, and rebuild their bottom six. Oh, is that it? See, that's the thing. And I wrote this kind of in all caps when I was listing all the frustrations that fans have with this deal. Because it's not about Tanner Pearson. It's about a pattern of signings. And it's about a philosophy of too much cap space tied up in bottom six veterans who aren't getting any better. They're only going to decline unless there's a miracle. Unless they figure out how to beat time. But for the most part, the pattern is as you approach 30, your game does not improve. In fact, it gets worse. And we've seen that example play out a few times on the Canucks. So you're bringing back these guys, or you're signing these guys. And as soon as you sign them, that should theoretically be the best hockey that they play. But then they get worse, and in some cases, they turn into negative value assets. And that could be the case with Tanner Pearson. Almost best case scenario with Tanner Pearson is that he kind of stays the same, right? And the team needs, this was the part that was in all caps. The team needs to get better. They need to get better. So bringing back Tanner Pearson, okay, stability, sure. Good guy in the locker room, sure. Friends with Bo Horvat, gives Horvat some stability on that line. Useful player, yes. But is it worth the price that was paid to do all that? We'll talk a lot more on the show about the Canucks situation. I've listed a bunch of frustrations that I think the listeners have. And you can push back on that or agree with that. Text into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Also, if you got any fun Ask Us Anythings, text those in as well. It's Alfred and Bruff Show, Sportsnet 650. .652 on a Friday, Alfred and Bruff Show, Sportsnet 650. Just Bruff today again. Alfred maybe back Monday. He's feeling a little bit better. Doesn't have COVID yet. Oh, man. So many texts into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Let's start with a fun one here. Got a few minutes. Ask us anything. When putting jam on toast, do you put butter or margarine on it first? I found out my wife can't or doesn't. I feel like she could. And it is making me rethink our relationship. Yeah, I put butter or margarine on first.
No!
You don't, Dom?
No, I never
dry
understood
toast
this.
With jam?
Yeah. No. Or peanut butter, but not butter. I never understood why folks put butter first under the jam or the jelly.
It just gives it a little something.
No, why?
I believe I even said this earlier in the week. A great little snack, not good for you, but you can't do it because you're keto, okay?
Okay, let's say it's a cheat
sourdough
meal. Okay.
Sourdough bread,
okay.
Toasted.
Sounds great.
Little bit of butter.
That's good.
Jam on top.
No. Pick one.
Pick one? Why?
Because one is sweet and one is savory.
Is you that don't how mix you describe the two? Butter? Savory?
Is
that
butter is savory.
Okay, I barely know what that word is.
It's like a little salty. Okay. You know, it's not sweet.
All right. I don't know.
I never understood how people can mix butter and jam. Just not a thing.
That's what you're super upset about?
Well, the texter brought it up. I'm triggered. I don't like butter with my jam.
Have
or
you
jam
ever tried
with
it?
My butter. Yeah, of course I have.
Have you tried it on a boat?
Thanks, Dr. Seuss.
No, he's been canceled. Craig in Campbell River. I like this text. I'm so tired. So very tired. I feel like Charlie Brown and Jim Benning is Lucy pulling away the ball, except Lucy had a plan. It goes on. I just can't anymore. I have to emotionally prepare for English heartbreak in 10 weeks at the Euros and can't share my used, shriveled soul with this hockey club anymore. And Jim, you don't learn. This is the base definition of insanity. See, Dom, this is where you have to be prepared with the spit on me. When you have something as house of negativity as that, where Craig and Campbell River doesn't have the emotional bandwidth to deal with both the Canucks and, of course, the Euros are going to be in a few weeks. Imagine Craig and Campbell River if England loses to Scotland at home at Wembley, or England loses again to Croatia, who's in their group. I think they'll get through.
Brian, spit on me. Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Now tell me I'm scum.
Yeah. I can't wait for that, by the way. The Euros.
Oh, I thought you meant the spitting.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it's my birthday. Got a lot of spit.
Oh, God.
We do have to break. Lots more to come on the show. At around 7:20, Thomas Drance is going to join us. And 8 o'clock is Murph. Stick around for the Drance interview, because Drance has a plan. He has a plan to get the Canucks out of this. Or at the very least, he has a plan, okay? Just any plan. I think any plan will do right now with Canucks Nation. On the other side, before Drance, I'm going to go through some fan complaints that I have heard, and I'm going to sum them up a little bit, and you can either agree with them or disagree with them. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.